Heute werdet ihr Sensationelles erfahren in unserem Podcast. Wenn ihr schon immer wissen wolltet, wie man Grunkin verteidigt, ich spreche ihn schon Englisch aus, ganz einfach, man muss immer die verrücktesten Zuspiele erwarten und dann ist er ganz einfach zu lesen. Was war noch in dieser
Folge? Themenwechsel, Dating in Corona-Zeiten, wie geht's und dabei gleichzeitig Social Distance zu bewahren? Sicherlich ein Thema für unsere US-Boys. Hört einfach rein.
Und wenn wir dann gerade schon bei Frauen sind, erzählt euch dann natürlich Dalton auch noch, wie er den Frauenvolleyball zur SVG bringen möchte. SVG! 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 Eins!
Zwei! Juhu! Wir begrüßen euch herzlich zur Folge 5 unseres Lünenblock-Podcasts Butter bei die Hühnen. Wir, das sind wie gewohnt Torben, Kajetan und ich, Wolfgang. Und heute haben wir noch drei zusätzliche Gäste bei uns, nämlich die Lünohünen sind vertreten mit Dalton Saltbrick, mit Jordan Ebert und Will Kraft.
Ja, hallo hier auch von mir und von Torben haben wir noch nichts gehört.
Ja, ich bin auch mal wieder dabei. Ich hoffe mal, das Huhn schon wieder. Kajetan, kannst du es nicht endlich mal wegbringen?
Tut mir leid, das ist
echt nervig. Sowas.
Wenn das Huhn dich hört, dann musst du es gackern.
Also ich glaube, demnächst komme ich mal vorbei und schlachte das Ding. Aber du hast ja noch ein paar mehr.
Naja. Ehe das Ganze hier entgleist, gleich am Anfang hake ich mal wieder ein. Heute werden wir unseren Podcast aufteilen in zwei Teile. Und zwar ist es so, dass wir heute unsere US-Boys hier haben. Das heißt, wir werden den ersten Teil noch übersetzen. Der wird so vielleicht 15, 20 Minuten, wir wissen es selber nicht genau, wo wir ihre Antworten auch auf Deutsch übersetzen. Und danach kommen wir in den Talk rein. Und dort werden wir uns die ganze Zeit auf Englisch unterhalten, soweit wir das selbst auch können. Wir hoffen, es macht euch dann auch Spaß. Das soll es eigentlich auch. Und bleibt noch hinzuzufügen, wir sind derzeit auf Spotify mit allen 4, beziehungsweise künftig dann 5 Folgen. Wir sind zu finden auf Deezer, auf Google Podcast und Podigee. Alle 4, beziehungsweise dann künftig 5 Folgen. Jo, und dann kann ich vielleicht noch eines ankündigen. Heiß ist da. Harte Like, welcome. Ich hoffe, das war richtig ausgedrückt. Kreis von Solkemar, unser alter neuer Zuspieler, ist wieder angekommen in Kirchgelassen. Wir haben ihn schon mal ganz kurz begrüßen können, weil wir ihn kurz bekocht haben. Schön, dass er da ist und ja, schauen wir mal, was sich diese Saison noch so tut. Ziel dieses Podcasts heute ist es eigentlich, die Menschen hinter den Spielern kennenzulernen. Bisher ist es so, in den ganzen Saisons haben wir die Spieler immer so ein bisschen kennengelernt, sei es beim Angrillen oder. Und das wollen wir, das ist diese Saison ja leider nicht so gelungen. Ihr seht immer nur die Spieler spielen, wir kennen sie aber eigentlich nicht. Und das ist eigentlich dann eigentlich auch ein Ziel unseres Podcasts heute, die drei Jungs aus den USA so ein bisschen vorzustellen. Und bei dem Thema Vorstellung leite ich gleich mal weiter an Kajetan. Wen willst du denn vorstellen?
Die Wahl ist auf Jordan gefallen. Den Nachnamen darf er uns gleich noch erklären, wie man den genau ausspricht. Da gibt es verschiedene Versionen. Ja, Jordan, Außenangreifer, wie ihr wisst. Und er hat vorher in Spanien gespielt, auf der schönen Insel Ibiza, wo jetzt auch in dieser Saison unser früherer Zuspieler Carlos unterwegs ist. Und davor war er im College, also Spanien war seine erste Auslandsstation. Und seine Stärken, die er so beschreibt, sind eigentlich, dass er sehr universal unterwegs ist, also viele Skills hat, aber physisch nicht der allerbeeindruckendste ist, wie er selbst auch gesagt hat. Aber dafür muss er das mit Raffinesse wettmachen und davon haben wir schon eine ganze Menge gesehen in dieser Saison. Jordan kommt ursprünglich aus Kalifornien, ist also ein Sunny Boy, wie man auf Deutsch sagt. Und herzlich willkommen, Jordan.
Okay.
Ja, Torben, wen willst du vorstellen?
Ja, also wir haben uns ja darauf geeinigt, dass ich mal Dalton mache. Also Dalton ist unsere Nummer 11 und wir nehmen jetzt zwar noch im letzten Jahr auf, aber ihr hört sie ja schon in 2021, die Folge, und hatte Samstag Geburtstag. Also vorträglich, nachträglich, Happy Birthday, Dalton.
Dankeschön.
Ja, es ist unser Mittelblocker, unser neuer Mittelblocker, zusätzlich zu unseren beiden großen Spielern. Und er wurde in Lake Forest geboren, in Illinois, in der Nähe vom Lake Michigan oder am Lake Michigan, in der Nähe von Chicago. Aufgewachsen ist er in Lindenhurst. Yes, it's correct? Lindenhurst? Ja, ja? Okay. Hat zwei Brüder. Und vielleicht auch das Interessante für uns Deutsche ist so ein bisschen, dass dein Vater eben deutsche Vorfahren hat. In seiner Jugend hat er ganz viel Basketball und Volleyball gespielt, schon an der Schule, und war da in beiden Sportarten sehr, sehr erfolgreich und in diversen Auswahlcamps von Illinois und Amerika, von den USA allgemein. Nach seiner Schule hat er einen Zug gemacht, den, glaube ich, kaum ein anderer machen würde. Er hat einmal Harvard abgelehnt und ist dann, naja gut, aus dem kalten Illinois, Entschuldigung, nach Hawaii gewechselt, um Meeresbiologie zu studieren. Und dort hat er an der Uni in der Auswahl, 3 Jahre in der Auswahlmannschaft dort gespielt. Ja. Was kann man über Daltons Skills sagen? Er hat mal selbst gesagt, dass er besonders gut Aufschläge kann und Angriffe, also Spiken. Ja. Das hat er in seiner Karriere in Hawaii schon ordentlich gezeigt. Im zweiten Jahr war er schon dann immer in der Starting Six der Mannschaft drin. Also das ist auch schon herausragend. Und im dritten Jahr finde ich besonders interessant. Insgesamt haben sie 102 Sätze gespielt und davon war 99 in der Starting Six, also größten Respekt. Danach hat er sein erstes Profijahr in Kroatien gemacht. Also Hawaii warm, Kroatien am Mittelmeer auch warm. Sicherlich ein sehr schönes Erlebnis, hast du, glaube ich, auch mal gesagt, dass es sehr schön zum Leben dort ist. In Kroatien hat er in dieser Liga gespielt, wie heißt es jetzt nochmal?
Mesta. Was? Mesta, die internationale Liga.
Danke, Cayetan.
Bitte.
Okay. und in der, also Cayetan hat die schöne Mefsa-Liga erwähnt. Das ist eine mitteleuropäische Liga aus einem Staatenverbund und dann CEV von Österreich, Ungarn, Slowakei, Slowenien und Kroatien. Außerdem hat er bis in den Challenge Cup, das Achtelfinale, ist er letztes Jahr gekommen. Also hat auch schon ein paar Erfolge hier in Europa vorzuweisen. Ja, was gibt es noch kurz zu sagen? Dalton ist die Nummer 11 bei uns und das war auch in Hawaii. In Kasteler Nummer 4. Also ja, willkommen Dalton.
Dankeschön.
Welcome Dalton.
Okay, dann mache ich nochmal den Schluss, indem ich Will vorstelle. Ich habe mich jetzt nicht so vorbereitet wie Torben. Der hat ja explizit ganz viel aufgeführt. Ich mache es kürzer. Will, 27 Jahre derzeit, Außenannahmespieler, kommt auch aus den USA, aus einem kleinen Dorf, circa 60 Kilometer südlich von Chicago, und hat dort in Chicago Mathematik und Wirtschaftswissenschaften studiert und sich da spezialisiert auf die Datenanalyse. Was auch immer das bedeutet, können wir ihn ja nachher mal fragen. Volleyballtechnisch hat er in der College-Zeit in der dritten Division von der NCAA gespielt. Das ist im Grunde genommen so eine Art Organisation, über die viele Colleges und Universitäten in den USA die Sportprogramme organisieren. Ist dann nach Europa gegangen, um in Estland für allerdings nur 2 Monate zu spielen, und war dann deutlich erfolgreicher bei Nordenskov UIF Volley. Geht mir etwas schwer über die Lippen, aber das ist in Dänemark. War dort 2 Jahre und war in der ersten Saison, wo er gespielt hat, bester Außenangreifer der Liga. Und interessant wird es nachher in Part 2, wenn wir uns über seine Hobbys unterhalten, weil mit dem Namen kann man eigentlich nur Bierbrauen als Hobby nennen, ganz klar. Er nennt aber auch noch Reisen, Golfspielen und Grassvolleyball. Auch das ist etwas, worüber man sich vielleicht mal unterhalten soll, weil Grassvolleyball haben wir bei uns in Europa eigentlich eher weniger. Welcome to Lüneburg, Will Kraft. And then let's talk about some things.
Yeah. Okay. Ja, gut. Dann gehen wir mal in medias res. So, let's start. John, first question for you. How do you pronounce your last name? That's a riddle for everybody. Okay. And why?
I actually brought this up with my parents. My entire family in America says Ewert. Mm-hmm. And then I told my family that everybody here says Evert or Evert or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my parents said, well, they're probably right because they're German. And it might be, I think it's a German name. We say Ewert, but I mean, mm-hmm. If you guys think it's Evert, it's probably Evert. I don't know.
Okay, also damit haben wir es ja mal für Roman Gerd. In diesem Falle einmal schöne Grüße an Roman. Kannst du es ja das nächste Mal in der Live-Kommentierung richtig aussprechen, Zwinker.
Ja, es sollten auch andere zuhören, denn Jordan war auch schon Gesprächsthema im BR Volleys Podcast. Also wir wollen jetzt nicht Jordan nach Berlin bringen, aber dort wurde auch schon über ihn gesprochen. Also E-Word, das ist das, wie es in Amerika ausgesprochen wird, aber man kann es auch auf Deutsch aussprechen, weil es ursprünglich ein deutscher Name ist. Okay, danke.
Ja, wir hatten ja gerade eben an schon angeteasert, dass Will eine besondere Beziehung hat. Will, you have said you will later be a brewing company.
Open a factory or open a brewery or run a brewery, okay, in the future maybe.
Yeah. I've been brewing beer for a few years now. When I was living in Denmark, I got to brew in a local brewery there as well. So I've seen, you know, the home brewing side and the commercial brewing side as well. It's a dream of mine. And, you know, I can't play volleyball forever. So it's once volleyball's done, it's on to the next thing.
But okay. You didn't study brewery. You only made it volleyball and beer brewing.
Yes, it's just a hobby. I have not gone to school for it. There are good schools around the world, but I haven't gone to any school yet.
In the US, you can also study brewing technology or something.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's schools. There's different colleges around the country have little programs popping up. So good news for me.
Okay. Cool. Also, yeah, you have schon gehört, Will interessiert sich sehr fürs Bierbrauen. Er konnte in Dänemark auch schon mal ein bisschen reinschnuppern, reinschauen, wie das funktioniert. Und ja, das ist ein Plan von ihm für seine Zukunft nach dem Volleyball. Er kann ja nicht immer Volleyball spielen.
Will, when I say the words small, independent and traditional, what would you say? What idea do you have to these three words?
And beer again. It goes right to making a traditional style brewery.
This is the definition, the American definition for craft beer.
Yeah.
But in Germany we interpret. Craft beer in another way. We say it's a new way of new taste and experimental. It's not linked with words like it's small or independent or traditional. So it's just another way. So.
The German purity law is pretty straightforward. You know, only 4 ingredients in beer, and those 4 ingredients taste really good. So there's not much to differ from that. I don't want to experiment too much with my brewery. I do like brewing kind of a traditional style of beer, but we'll see what the future holds for me.
What is your favorite style of beer?
You guys might not like me for this. I like Belgian beer the most.
Oh, wow. Das schneiden wir raus. We'll cut this. Okay.
Bisschen Kirschbier.
Okay, soll ich das jetzt übersetzen? Bitte. Wirklich? Ja, also das letzte war natürlich starker Tobak. Will mag belgisches Bier am liebsten. Eieiei, das ist schwer. Nee, aber ihr kennt das vielleicht, also wer sich für Bier interessiert, weiß, dass in den USA Craft Beer, noch nicht von Will gebraut, aber Craft Beer an sich sehr, sehr populär ist und hat einen sehr großen Marktanteil. Hier in Deutschland ist man noch sehr traditionell unterwegs, was Will auch gut findet. Und er will nicht selbst zu viel experimentieren, wenn er selbst mal Bier braut, aber vielleicht ein bisschen mehr als hier das üblich ist. Okay. Torben, du hattest da noch eine Frage.
Oh, yes. Will, you know Ben Patch? Ben Patch has a hobby. Was heißt eigentlich Ton?
Audio? Clay.
Clay? Ach, Ton.
He's very creative. He is... doing crafts, arts and crafts and things like that. Okay, pottery, you call it, yeah?
Yeah. And would you like to make a company with Ben? He produced the mug and you the beer?
That could work. You know, I don't know of any breweries where you can go in and drink beer and make pottery. So that might be a good idea. I'm gonna have to send him a text about that one.
Okay.
Idee ist born.
Ja, schöne Idee. Ben Patch macht die Bierkrüge für Will's Bier in der Zukunft. Will, do you have already a name for your brewery in the future? Probably not craft beer. Or is it craft beer?
It's just going to be called Crafts Beer.
Crafts.
Ja, also wenn ihr dann mal irgendwann in der Zukunft das seht, dann achtet auf die Marke Craft Beer. Okay, pay attention to this brand in the future.
Yeah.
Dalton, in your last year, you played in the Croatian League.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you explain what is the difference between Croatian League and the German League from up to now, what you realize?
So the league that I played in Croatia was a lot of different countries were in it. It was called the Mevza. It was a couple teams from Slovenia, Austria, Bosnia, us, and one other team from Croatia. And so it was a lot different than the German league, obviously, because, you know, every team in Germany is from Germany. But definitely the level of volleyball in Germany is a lot higher. It's also a lot more consistent. There was a couple teams in the Mevza league last year that were a little bit lower. Some teams were kind of stacked and beat everybody. And in the German league, especially this season, it seems everybody can beat everybody if they're playing their best volleyball.
Also die Unterschiede zwischen der Liga, in der Dalton letzte Saison gespielt hat, der internationalen Mevza-Liga, also was Mitteleuropäisches, waren vor allem, dass das Niveau dort sehr unterschiedlich war, dass ein paar Mannschaften quasi außer Reichweite waren für die anderen. Und hier, zumindest in dieser Saison, ist es so, dass fast jeder jeden schlagen kann. Also das Niveau ist höher und insgesamt ausgeglichener.
Jo. Jordan, bringen wir dich mal ins Spiel. Hi. Did you ever have the situation, it was some weeks ago when you played against Königs Wusterhausen?
The Netzhoppers.
Netzhoppers, yes. Did you ever have this situation? 6 match points against us, against you in this special game, and you defeated everything.
it did happen to me one time before. I think I was 16 or 17. I wasn't the one serving, but we were in the championship in a tournament, a USA tournament, and we were down 14-8 in the fifth set.
Okay.
And we came back and won 17-15, and I had the last two points, which was fun. So it's been a long time since that happened. I would say I don't think I've had that big of a comeback at the end before in a long time. So it was fun, but it's been a while.
Yeah. Okay. Ja, ihr erinnert euch vielleicht, das Spiel gegen die Netzhoppers, vierter Satz. Die Netzhoppers haben 24-18 geführt. Jordan kam an den Aufschlag. Ja, und dann haben wir den Satz noch gewonnen. Jordan ist einfach nicht weggegangen vom Aufschlag. Jordan hat so was Ähnliches schon mal erlebt, aber da war er erst 16, also noch als Junior, als Jugendlicher. Da haben sie 8-14 im Tiebreak zurückgelegen und dann noch gedreht auf 17-15. Er hat die beiden letzten Punkte gemacht. Leider gegen die Netzhoppers haben wir einen Tiebreak verloren. So, unfortunately, we lost the tiebreak with the Netzhoppers. But at least you saved, you all saved the whole team, saved a point. That was really unexpected. I haven't experienced anything like in the SVG history in the first league.
Yeah, should have won, but it was nice to get something out of it.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Dalton, das war wieder eine Frage von Tom. Tom, it's your turn again.
Okay. Ah, it's my turn. Okay. Dalton, you're especially for attacks and you want to be a one-legged attack. Is that correct?
The slide, yeah.
Slide, yeah. Okay. You call it.
Slide. It's called slide in English?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And that's normally we know it from the women's league. Why you do this?
It was kind of in college. We had Joe Worsley. He's playing for Friedrichshafen now. He was my setter at Hawaii, and there was one practice we just decided to kind of try it, and our coach loved it and really wanted to try it in a game. And so then we tried it in a couple of games and it worked like every single time. So then it kind of just became one of the plays that we ran. And I guess Stefan saw that video and he wants to try it a little bit here, but we haven't had very many opportunities yet.
Okay.
We saw it once in a while, but could be more often maybe in the future.
Got it up our sleeves.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Also es geht um einen speziellen Angriffsschlag von Dalton, den er auch schon ein paar Mal gezeigt hat in dieser Saison, aber den er früher am College auch sehr oft gezeigt hat. Und das ist der Einbeiner, oder auf Englisch gibt es dafür den Wort Slide, den man, Torben sagt das zumindest, ich kenne mich da nicht so aus, den man aus dem Frauenvolleyball eher kennt. Und das erklärt Dalton damit, dass er mit Joe Worsley, der jetzt für Friedrichshafen spielt, der mit ihm in Hawaii gespielt hat, also Worsley Zuspieler, das mal eingeübt hat im Training und der Trainer fand das großartig und dann haben sie das im Spiel auch umgesetzt und es hat sehr gut funktioniert. Okay.
Ja, more often hast du vorhin gesagt, Kajetan. More often that we want to see the slice from Dalton. More slide. Often we want to see slide. Okay. Okay. More often we want to see the games from with Will. But what we very what we appreciate is your shouting from the side, especially at this time. Normally nobody would hear you if we have the normal spectators. But in these times, you are really making a great noise and shout out.
Yeah, it's a team game, you know, and I'm going to do everything in my power to help the team win, whether I'm on the court or on the bench. So if obviously if I'm not playing, then, you know, I'm going to try to keep as much energy going as possible and try to keep the guys on the court, give them a little bit of energy to feed off of. So And I can't go without saying that, you know, Dalton and I, because Dalton at the beginning of the season was hurt for a little bit. So him and I were the bench mom for sure. So it's always good to have somebody by your side who's going to act crazy and yell as loud as you.
Yeah. And I think especially this season without the audience, that's more important than ever to have the support from the side of the.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's kind of a weird feeling after winning a point and not hearing a big scream or lots of clapping. So, you know, if there's no fans to do it or very little fans, then I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, Will habt ihr vielleicht noch nicht so mitbekommen, aber wenn man in der Halle war, wir sind ja dann zum Abbauen öfter auch noch in der Halle und bekommen das mit, dass Will immer von der Seite aus anfeuert und er sagt, ja, wenn ich nicht auf dem Feld stehe, ich bin Teil des Teams, dann sehe ich meine Rolle darin, so viel Energie aufs Feld zu geben, wie möglich ist. Und macht Spaß, auch das zu sehen.
Jo, dann wären wir eigentlich auch schon bei dem beim Ende des ersten Teils angelangt, wo wir jetzt unser Deutsch abschalten und hört gerne, bleibt weiter dabei. Wir werden uns jetzt weiter mehr unterhalten, also mehr einen Talk machen und weniger ein Interview. So, we will start with part two in our podcast and we will make a talk with each other.
What options did you have when just coming to your when you decided to come to your to yeah. play professional volleyball?
Well, we can start. So Jordan yeah. and I actually have a pretty similar story. We were going to play for the same team, CSM Bucharest in Romania mm-hmm. last season. We were both signed and everything, and then they ended up just getting rid of their men's volleyball team through that from that club. So we were both without a team in August, which is pretty late. And then we found a new agent and he ended up going to Spain. And then I went to Croatia. And that was at that time, that was kind of our last options.
Mm-hmm. It was our last options. And there weren't many teams left. So we both had our seasons, him in Croatia, me in Spain. And then before we came here, I mean, with Corona, we had to go home early. And, you know, with the season ending and also with some teams having to shut down because of money problems and stuff, you know, we knew that there weren't going to be a lot of options. And our agent, who we kind of owe everything to, she's done everything for us. She's had like other players in the past play for Stefan, like Cody Kessel and Michael Brinkley and
Brian Slater.
Yeah. And so she talked with Stefan and it ended up working out. So as soon as we both, you know, got the offer to come play here, I mean, we didn't have any other offers at the time, I don't think, but we didn't need any other offers. We knew we mm-hmm. wanted to come here and play in Germany and play for mm-hmm. Stefan. So, I mean, it's really, we took the opportunity pretty quick. It was like 1 week after we got home.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Well, how come that you ended up in Estonia? But Estonia is a really it's a small country, but pretty big in volleyball. And the team you played for the first in your first season here in Europe, it's I think one of two big teams in professional teams in Estonia.
Yeah. So I graduated college in 2016 and then I took a year off because I broke my thumb and I had to have surgery. So mm-hmm. I had to wait for that to heal. And even before I went to Estonia, I had signed a contract for that season to go play in Cyprus. And mm-hmm. about 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave to go to Cyprus, my agent sent me an email and said, the email literally just said, club is backing out. You don't have a contract. Sorry to hear that. Mm-hmm. And this is 2 weeks before I'm supposed to leave. Mm-hmm. And luckily enough, Mike Miklow played here last year. Mm-hmm. His agent at the time was looking for that spot to fill. And Mike was playing in Estonia as well. And Mike talked with his agent, my agent, and him talked together, and they helped me get over to Estonia in the beginning. Unfortunately, there were a few injuries to some middles on that team, and so they needed to sign a new middle. Mm-hmm. And since I was called up in end of August, I was kind of the last person, the first person on the chopping block, the first person to go. So unfortunately, I was sent home. Mm-hmm. But that, honestly, just going to Estonia for that time, just to be able to put that on my volleyball resume really helped out. Mm-hmm. It helped me land the spot in Denmark. And the league in Denmark isn't up to the standard of Estonia and Germany. But it was a great starting point. I met some really great people and got to be very successful over there for 2 years. So I was I was happy with that. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever
see? We already had a story with Denmark. A Danish player played here for one season. Or was it?
Yeah,
Mats Møllergaard. Yeah. And I think he did really his best game was with Berlin when we defeated Berlin. He did a great job.
Yeah, he's a really good player. He still plays for Gentofte Volley, which is the top team in Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Ah, he's still in Denmark. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Because I heard in the season when he was in Germany, he wanted to go abroad, not to Denmark or to other countries. So
yeah,
he's still there. Okay.
There's been a couple Danish players, especially out of Gentofte, who are trying to go abroad. There was one of their outsides is in Belgium this year, and then I think Mads is. I've heard this. I don't know for sure, but I've heard he's trying to play some more beach volleyball. So I think he's trying to stay. Because beach volleyball is getting very popular in Denmark now. I think they're taking a page out of the Norwegians' books and trying to be like the beach volleyball Vikings. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
But. Okay. I think most Germans only know beaches in Denmark, nothing else than beaches, yeah. Because usually they spend their vacations on the beach. But usually when the weather is not really warm, so mm-hmm. in fall or in spring or during the winter time. Okay, John, you already started with the topic we had also on our list. So why did you sign with Lüneburg? How did you come to the German League? So you already answered that. And Don, with you, same story?
Yeah, pretty much. I was playing last year in Croatia. And the goal of mine was to come and play in Germany because there was just a lot of successful players from the U.S., especially younger guys, coming and playing in Germany and getting a lot better. And obviously, Stefan was one of the best middle blockers of all time. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me to come here and just really develop my skills. And, yeah, I mean, I signed as soon as I got the contract. I didn't take a second thought. I didn't wait for any other offers. I signed it right away. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will, how about you?
Mine was a bit different from Jordan and Dalton, considering that there was another outside that he unfortunately was dealing with health issues, and Julian Moses, who's a good friend of Jordan's, who played with him in Spain.
Okay, now you said it. I think I heard of this before, but he actually is the son of the big Edwin Moses, the Olympic winner. I've won twice. I don't know how often. World record holder, yeah. With 400 meter hurdles, you call it. Mm-hmm. And in the 80s, so I still remember in the big races that he had a German opponent. His biggest his opponent was Harald Schmidt, but here Harald Schmidt was a Europe record holder, but he could never get close to Edwin Moses. And when I heard it first, well, what Moses? That Moses? Really? Can't believe it.
Okay. Yeah, no, Julian's a really good guy, and you know, he's a good friend, and you know, I feel for him, and it's kind of a bummer that you know he had to call it quits after due to injury, because you don't want to see that happen to anybody.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I got the text message from Stefan asking if I wanted to come to Lunenburg and come play. And it's like Dalton and Jordan said, it was pretty much a no brainer. You know, I had almost written playing volleyball off in Europe. I called it quits and said, I'm done. I couldn't find anything. I wasn't necessarily looking super hard, but you know, I cut ties with my agent. And then out of nowhere, I got the call from Stefan, and it was an absolute yes. Germany has always been a goal, like Dalton and Jordan said too. You know, that's, I've known a ton of players who have come here and have gotten so much better and just get that real professional volleyball feel. And you know, this is something that's pretty awesome.
Had you been in touch with Stefan before?
We had talked for in between my two seasons in Denmark. We had exchanged a few emails, but not very much. Mm-hmm. So, and I'd known that my agent at the time had said there was a club in Germany, and they said, and he said which one, and we had talked about it a little bit, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that's where he recognized me from the past off season and gave me a call, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dalton, with you, just do you think the pandemic changed a lot? So regarding to your plans, or do you think it's pretty, yeah, would have been the same story even without the pandemic?
So I actually already had signed with Lunenburg before we had gotten sent home in Croatia. Mm-hmm. So in terms of finding a team to sign a contract with, I wasn't too worried about it. But like Will said, is kind of the whole logistics of, am I going to be able to get to Germany on time for the start of season? Am I going to be able to get there and actually train? And then obviously at home, I wasn't able to train normally in terms of like weightlifting and playing volleyball because everything is closed. So there was a little bit of worries more for getting to Germany and then also being ready to start when I get there.
Yeah, I mean, I signed my contract with I think 1 week after I got home from Spain. I flew back from Spain within a, you know, I was told the day before I flew home that I had to go home. And I got home and I was in shock of being at home. I was not expecting to be home. And then, yeah, 1 week later, my agent told me that she had gotten me the offer here. And, you know, at that point, nobody really knew, kind of, we were on lockdown, but we didn't know how long it was going to last. And you know, how everything was going to happen for the rest of the year. But my agent told me, you know, if this thing gets worse, there are certain countries that are not handling maybe the virus as well that might start losing teams and losing money. And she said, you know, Germany is definitely a safer option because, you know, you guys are pretty smart about how you handle things like this. And so, you know, that was definitely also a great, I mean, I had wanted to play in Germany the year before. So, you know, it was always a goal of mine to get here, like it was with Dalton. And, you know, the fact that this was one of the countries that handled the virus the best, that was also, you know, just extra icing on the cake, I guess. So I didn't really have any concerns. You know, it seemed like the smartest option for volleyball and for the coronavirus as well. Mm-hmm. So.
So is France an option for you to play volleyball? Because the league in France is on the same level, I think. Mm-hmm. It was for you an option, or?
I don't know. For me, I don't think it would have been an option. I mean, I had a good season in Spain, but I didn't have a great season. And you know, I know a lot of coaches don't really expect a lot out of me because I'm not the tallest outside hitter. And I was grateful that Stefan gave me a chance, and because I know I wasn't his first choice either when he was signing outside hitters. And then some other guys that he wanted on the team didn't really work out. And so I ended up getting the offer. So I wouldn't say France was an option. I was just kind of looking for a contract offer. I mean, it's only my second season. And like I said, I didn't play incredible in Spain. So, yeah.
But up to now, I think you can be satisfied with your ranking up to now in Germany, I think. Did you ever expect this at the beginning of the season, that you will be in the ranking on the, not on the top, but on the top?
In the top 10, yeah.
Top 10, yes.
Top 10, top 5.
I think I was expecting to have a successful season. I didn't really have too high of expectations. I just told myself coming in that, you know, I mean, this is something I want to do for a long time, and I want to play on the national team eventually. And so I have goals that I want to reach, and I knew this was, you know, the best next step for me. And I knew I was going to have, I knew I was going to come. I knew I was going to work hard. I knew I was going to, I knew I was going to play well, but again, I didn't really have any super high expectations, in terms of like ranking or being one of the best players. I mean, I just kind of wanted to play well. That was really it. So it's been nice. I mean, I've definitely had some bad games, but, you know,
I remember only the Hersching game didn't go well, but the rest was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, my agent wasn't too happy about that.
Okay, don't mention the war.
Okay. It's only one game, and we are also human beings, so we make we have days where we are not in the bad, in the best situation, and shit happens.
That place is hard to play in. That gym is a hard gym to play in, for sure.
Really? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Not only for the away games, so for the guest teams, also for the home team.
Yeah. It was.
I can remember. Do you know Stephen Marshall, a Canadian?
I don't know him personally, but my agent likes me. She wants me to watch a lot of video of him because she thinks we're similar players.
Yeah, he is. Also, he played as a libero for the Canadian team sometimes, but usually he's an outside hitter. But
And he played for the SVG, SVG. He played his first game in Hersching. And he's a really, really good player, but that wasn't his best. It was terrible for him.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Okay, but it was his first game, and after I think was it two games, Cayetan, or one two seasons or one season he stayed at the SVG?
Only one season. Then one. He signed with Berlin,
and then went to and Poland. Then
the next two seasons, no, from Berlin he went elsewhere, Turkey, Greece, whatever. So other, but he came from Poland to SVG.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's what also Stefan, I think, expected from you, John, to have smart solutions. So just playing with the block and things like that. And that's also what we see this season. So that came true.
Yeah. It's hard being small, but you kind of figure it out after this many years. Mm-hmm. So. Got to do a lot of tips and stuff.
Mm-hmm. In every highlight video, I saw you with digs and tips every time.
Yeah, I do it a lot. Yeah, it's kind of the easy way to get points, but it works.
It's just
It's brilliant. I think it's brilliant. No, normally they want to hit a ball with the hardest hit. And you said, oh, I look there, and then I tip it, and there's a hand, a finger also, and then the ball is on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
You drive your opponent crazy that way.
Yeah, I know. I don't. Yeah, and my teammates, too, in training.
Okay.
Yeah, Dalton, what about your... situation. Are you satisfied with your ranking up to now so far? You didn't play so much because of your incidents or something?
Yeah, I mean, so the first part of the season, it was kind of me just trying to get back to 100%. after busting my ankle at the end of the summer. And now I definitely think that I can help the team. I think that one thing we need more of is setting the middle and setting the pick. And I think that I do that pretty well. I'm a good attacker. So yeah, right now I just hope to be on the court. I hope that I can be a guy out there also to bring some energy. I think that's one thing that we need right now too. And just want to help my team win, whether that's, you know, like Will said, if I'm on the bench, that's fine. But, it, you know, hopefully I can be on the court and help them win and contribute.
In the first SVG in the interview, we read that you mentioned you have mentioned that your service is one of your outstanding skills. So please tell us when we are still waiting for it.
A little bit more.
what's the is it the service in the Gellersenhalle? Is it a special problem to do the service in this arena, or can you explain something about this?
I mean, the simplest explanation is I just need to serve better. I think I need to do a better job of handling the pressure. You know, the first couple games I had the role of being a serving sub, and you kind of go back there and you have to put a good serve in, because usually it's, you know, 20-20 or somewhere around there, the score. So you can't just go in and put in a free ball, and you also can't miss because it's kind of a high pressure situation. So I just need to do a better job now of just getting in a better rhythm. You know, if I'm actually playing middle, and understanding that, you know, I got to do what I can to help my teammates win. I think that I have a really good serve. I just need to be a little bit more confident, be a little smarter at certain situations, whether I need to go for it or whether I need to keep it in. But yeah, hopefully I'll keep getting a rhythm, keep getting better at it. And yeah, it's coming. Wait for it.
Okay.
I think I remember. So in the friendly games before the season with the Dutch team, and maybe one of the first matches, your service looked better, but then you had also injury coming back. You had the flu and things like that. It's just was maybe not really helpful for the rhythm. Yeah.
It's definitely not helping me, but for sure, yeah, I need to I'm not making excuses. I need to serve better for sure.
Yeah, that's what Wolfgang keeps telling me. He told us his serve is pretty strong, but we can still see it.
Strong, just not.
Would like to see it more.
Yeah, I would.
You too, of course. So, what about your situation? Well, we've already mentioned that you put a lot of energy from the side, but so far, you haven't much opportunity to show your skills on the court. What do you think? What do you expect for your role in this season? Do you think you're still have the chance to show a little bit more?
I struggled for a little bit during the first half of the season, you know, it was definitely kind of there was a big awakening moment of, you know, the transfer from the Danish league to the German league. You know, a lot of the habits that I created over 2 years, I couldn't make those same plays anymore. So I needed to kind of change my game up a little bit. And, you know, in the past month or so, I think I've really found it. I feel like I'm playing very well now, and, you know, I've got faith in whoever we put it outside on the court. Obviously, I want to play, yes, but I also want to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the winning talent is already on the court and I'm not, it sucks. But, you know, a win is a win. But, yeah, I think that we got four good outsides that can really make a difference on the court right now. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a battle for who's going to be playing for the rest of the season. But I think Jordan and Victor do a great job out there already, and when Connie comes in, he does a great job too. So it's going to be interesting, but, you know, I definitely hope to see the court a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So that's the second part of the question already. You answer this. The difference was bigger than you expected between Denmark and Germany?
I knew it would be a big jump, but I thought that I could adjust faster than I had done. And, you know, my harshest critic is myself. So I tend to get down on myself a little bit sometimes. And so then it might make that transformation a little bit longer. So it was just a little bit harder than I had expected. But, you know, coming into SVG and learning from Stefan and learning from Victor and Jordan, I've never done those tips on the line before. And now I do it once or twice, maybe three times during practice. This is what Jordan does down the line, just to get points. Because like he says, I think Jordan's taller than me. So he's...
I don't think I am.
We're close. Jordan and I are like right there. You know, so it's we're kind of in that same, you know, undersized outside role.
Yeah, but
so,
you fly, dude. You fly.
Yeah. I used to. I feel old now. The knees aren't working.
Fly.
Yeah, like so I'm learning wherever I can. Where I get tips from Victor when he tells me to go thumb down cross court. I get tips from Jordan when he tells me to tip line and go off the hands, and I get tips from Connie when he tells me to hit high. So there's learning experiences in every day at every training.
But I remember, sorry for again mentioning the hashing game, but I remember, but you came in, you brought a lot of energy onto the court. Yeah. I think the team was down and then it was close to a comeback. So then you were close to winning the third set, but unfortunately it didn't work out. Just I was, I don't know, 31, 33 or something like this.
Yeah.
But that was, it's also a skill. So you, when you're needed, you put your energy onto the floor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's the job when you come off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to do something to make a positive change.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely would like seeing you when you're standing, dancing, and whatever on the side, but I also would like to see you more often on the court.
Danke.
So you already told about your expectations for yourself for the next half. What about your expectations for the next half of the season for the SVG Lüneburg? What do you think? The team will be better and better. What? Make a tip. What do you think? How will it develop?
Oh, I think we're going to do some great things this last half of the season. We had a good time to decompress for Christmas, and everybody got to go home and kind of relax and kind of shed the skin off from the first half. But you know, we got Heisuji who came in. He's bringing a whole new energy into the gym as well to give Hannes a little bit of a break sometimes in training. Hannes he's been worked like a dog sometimes, but he's. But no, it's been great having him come in, and I think that, you know, he just brings a new energy, a new feeling to the court in practice and in games, and even just these first couple days of training with him, it's the 6-on-6 and the competition level has been great. So I think that we're destined for some pretty good things.
That sounds good. What do you say, Dalton, to the expectations of the second half of the league for the SVG?
Yeah, I think similar to what Will said, having Heis here now is really, really great because when your practice is elevated, your games are elevated. I also think that there's always a peak for every team during a season, and I think we have not come even close to our peak. And I think it's probably better that our peak comes at the end of the season than the beginning.
Sure.
So I think there's a lot of things we need to work on. And I think we all realize that a lot of the games that we've lost have been really close, been by a couple points, 4 or 5 set matches. And so I think there's not huge changes that we need to make to win games. I think we're right there. We just need to finish off our opponents. And hopefully by the end of the season, we'll have the fans back in the Gellerson Halle. But we'll see.
That's one topic we totally forgot because, Will, you said you had time and The players have a chance to go home, but you didn't have the chance to go home. How are you coping with the situation, so the pandemic and all what the pandemic brings with it? So maybe, John, you start. How hard is it for you, for your everyday life, to have such restrictions?
It's not been easy, you know? I mean, there are definitely days where, especially during the holidays, where it's been really hard being away from family and stuff. But, you know, with modern technology, it's been a little bit easier, I think. You know, if I ever miss my parents, I can just FaceTime them and at least feel like I'm, you know, close to home. It's nice not living by myself, because at least, you know, I'm not alone all day, every day. Just all you want to do is just go home and see your parents, and or just even go to a restaurant or go to a bar or something and socialize and be with other people. But that's not, you know, that's not possible right now. But it's also part of the sacrifice I think we've had to make moving to another country. I mean, this is something that I've wanted to do, play professional volleyball since I was 14. And I knew this was going to be something that, you know, this was going to be a part of it. I was going to be away from my family for the holidays, and I was going to have to sacrifice a lot of things. And so, you know, I was prepared for it. You know,
you weren't prepared in the hard version for a pandemic, like a pandemic. So, so it's a little bit harder in pandemic times, I think.
But it's also, it's been harder in pandemic times, but it's also, you know, this isn't forever, you know, it's not going to be like this forever. It kind of sucks that it is right now, but, you know, we've been going now for 9 months like this. So we can handle a couple more.
What are you doing when you don't play volleyball then at this time? You don't have many chances to do. study or something? Xbox?
No. Well, Dalton's, you can tell him what you're doing.
Oh, so I recently started working on a project for the mental health of athletes with a couple people that I know back home. Mm-hmm. We're looking to kind of develop an app to kind of help athletes with their life outside of their sport. Could be anything from nutrition to recovery to mental health, anything like that. And we kind of wanted to create that because it's something that it's three of us that are working on it. And we all have played in college sports, and it's something we wish we would have had. And I think especially during these times, like, mental health is one of the first things to go when you're stuck at home all day, especially during a pandemic. You can't do anything. You're away from your family. You know, it's a tough time, and you need to be prepared for it. So I've been working on that a little bit. We watch Netflix. We play video games. We sleep. Yeah, kind of just relax.
You play video games with your roommates or with your friends in the U.S.?
I play usually just by myself. Just play first person single player games.
Okay. I play with some friends back home whenever they're on. It's hard sometimes being, you know, 9 hours ahead of everybody in California. So, you know, sometimes when it's, you know, maybe late at night and a friend from home gets on, you know, gets on the Xbox, I'll start playing with them, and it's nice that I can talk to them and stuff. But I also play with Will and with Flo and with Hannes sometimes. So some of the guys on the team like to play together as well. It's just something to pass the time. And
Will, must you take some pictures the whole time from Richie?
There was one day, it was a beautiful day in Lüneburg, and we were walking downtown, and he was saying, I think he said his beach sponsor wanted some pictures of him modeling in the clothes, the small streets of Lüneburg. And he bought me a beer and bought me a coffee, and I took some pictures of him, and we sat by the river and had a great afternoon. Yeah, and if you need me, if anybody needs a professional photographer, I am. You can hire me. I'm not a very good photographer. Okay. With an iPhone.
Good.
So Tom is very much into social media. I don't know what he's talking about. And Will, did you have the chance to brew some beer for people here, or don't you have the equipment for that?
No, the equipment's pretty well. I could do it here, but it would stink up the whole entire apartment complex if I brewed in my kitchen, which you can do, but it takes a lot of time, and the whole apartment will smell bad for a month. I think it'll smell good, but I'm not sure.
I remember my childhood. So in our town, I think once a week there was a smell from the brewery, and you felt a little bit like drunk. I don't know. I didn't know, of course, how it feels to be drunk back then.
I think it smells great.
Yeah, it's a nice smell to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to the league. Okay, is there any player in the VBL, in the German league, that impresses you, so that has impressed you? And maybe some special skills? Well, maybe you would start. I think you played almost any team except for any team.
I think we've played everybody. I've played against Ben Patch when we were 17 and 18 in club volleyball. And he jumped high then. But he jumps really high now. So that was definitely a bit eye-opening, and it's always cool. You know, I didn't play against Berlin when we played them in the regular season, but in the preseason we had a practice match against them, and you know, just being on the other side of the net from Granken and Eder, two volleyball icons in their respective countries, it was very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trying to block a ball that Granken sets and Ben Patch hits is a bit difficult, but Jordan did it, so that was pretty
cool. Oh, whoa, it's in your CV right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, put that up there, Jordan.
John, same thing.
I mean, yeah, of course, Ben Patch jumps high, and, you know, he's on the national team and can do things that only four players in the world can do. I would say in terms of just skill, I would say Granken obviously is probably the hardest setter I've ever played against. And I was really impressed with the libero at Berlin. That guy, I don't know,
Singer,
the German guy. He's my age. I played against him in youth, for the youth national teams, and for world championships and stuff. So I've played against him before, but, you know, I watch him now and I'm like, dude, that guy, he's, in my opinion, he's freaking incredible. I think he's a really good libero for his age. And, you know, he's really impressive to me. So, I don't know.
Sounds also good for the future of the German national team.
Yeah, exactly. He's young. And for a libero, he can play for a long time. So, I mean, good for him. He's really good.
And maybe you could explain a little bit what makes Granken so hard to read to
play. So, it's actually kind of funny. We talked about this when we played him. Granken always tries to make the most unpredictable and kind of craziest set. And that's kind of what makes him a little more predictable, you know?
Okay.
Like, okay, what what is the craziest set? Okay, that's what you're gonna do. So that's kind of how I remember when Dalton played against him. He was like, I'm just going for the craziest set. Like, I'm just, and it works sometimes. But, you know, for one, just the fact that he can do all of these crazy sets. I mean, any setter can do that, but his location is consistent. I mean, he can put the ball in the same spot almost every time while still he could do it in all these different angles and kind of twisting and stuff. And, you know, it's the hardest set he can make, but he puts it the ball in the right spot. And some setters, you know, a lot of setters can't do that. And, you know, that's experience, but I think also he's just kind of, he's got something that a lot of setters probably don't have. And, you know, I'm not a setter, so I can't say exactly what it is, but he's just different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. Okay. That was pretty telling. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Dalton, do you observe other middle
jackers? I definitely agree with these guys, especially as a middle. Greinke was pretty tough to read against. Also Edair, because I think it's just so impressive that he's still playing at this level, because he's, is he like 39, something like that?
Is he that old?
Seven.
I think 38. Right.
38, yeah. He's. I pray that I'm still able to play at that level when I'm 38. I think that's so impressive. And then also, obviously, you know, like Ben Patch. Also Linus Weber on Friedrichshafen. There's a couple oppos that are pretty beastly. Yeah, but you know, like these guys said, I played against Ben Patch also in college, so he doesn't really impress me anymore. It's kind of just expected. I mean, it's impressive how high he jumps, but it's kind of just expected now. Like, you know who he is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If other maybe idols or maybe volleyball players. You think, okay, maybe someday I'll play like him, or that's just somebody I adore or whatever, admire.
I personally like watching the Japanese national team middles, because they're
middles?
They like to run a lot of like different plays, and that's kind of what I did with Joe when I was at Hawaii, was kind of using speed instead of, you know, jumping sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's like the Serbian medals, because last year I played in Croatia. They were kind of like gods there, like Lisinac and Vodroskinin. They're just ridiculous, but they're also huge. So it's kind of hard to relate a little bit. So I kind of like to, like, you know, watch guys that are more similar to my size and figure out what they do that makes them so good, and kind of try to model my game after that.
Talking about the Japanese league, that's Nishida comes to my mind. So jumping incredibly for his height. Okay, John.
Oh no, I was saying that Nishida and Ishikawa. Those are Japanese guys. That, I mean, I love Ishikawa because he's short, he's an outside, but he's just as aggressive and physical as the tall outsides. And those are kind of the outsides that I really look to. I'd say the guy I look up to the most is Kubiak. Him and I are about the same height. We jump about the same. And I think we have kind of similar attitudes. And I mean, obviously, I'm not anywhere near as good as him. But I think, you know, that's kind of who I strive to be, the player I strive to be. And yeah, that guy is just like a god to me.
You have to improve your dirty talk skills.
Yeah, I know.
In order to come close. He likes to fight.
We're working on it.
He practices it a lot.
Oh, shut up. You want to talk.
Okay. Well, anybody, maybe your favorite player in world volleyball?
My favorite player to watch, and he's been hurt for about a season or two now, but Taylor Sander has always been somebody who I've tried to somewhat model my game after. You know, he is a jumper. For the past few years now, I've been jumping pretty well. So I've always tried to kind of be like him, because like Jordan said about Ishikawa, he's not afraid to go up against the big guys up there. You know, he's not. He can still go for high hands. He can find seams. He can find angles. He can do some other shots. And my favorite play to run is the Bic. And I think he's one of the best big hitters in the world. So I think it's super cool to watch him play. Mm-hmm. Overall, Jordan Dalton, I've mentioned it already, but watching the Japanese national team play mm-hmm. is some of the most impressive volleyball I've seen. It's so great to watch them play.
Yeah. So we have prepared a quiz for you. Let me explain the rules. We ask and we want from you the answer. And the guy of you who knows the answer calls his name.
who knows the answer?
Those are only four questions. You can win a six-pack tray of the Sommerbecker Dachsbier. It's a German craft beer of the...
A local,
yeah.
I'm going to give it to Will even if we win.
you can share it with whomever.
But maybe because of my English, it's better if you, Kayetan, ask. I will look for the person who will shout out his name at first.
And you also write down the points.
Okay. I will write down, yeah.
Okay, so to make clear, so just call your name when you think you get the answer or you have an idea.
If your answer isn't correct, so the others have the chance to say the right answer. Okay,
first question. How many U.S. boys have played for SVG so far?
Jordan.
Okay. Nah, say it.
Please go.
Eight.
Oh, that was close.
That's not right.
Nine.
Close.
Nine.
Will says nine. Okay.
Okay.
And that's not right. Dalton?
Seven.
Yeah! Hey,
Okay. Next question is connected to the first one. Please name them, the names of the U.S. boys for SVG so far. Okay. So in the first six seasons before you kick.
Jordan, Ewert, Dalton. Yes,
Will. Okay, so Will, it's your turn. It's your turn. Okay.
Jordan, Dalton, me.
Yeah, Mike, without you, just.
Oh, without us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. So there's six others other than us.
No, seven.
Seven.
Seven. Oh God. Okay, I don't know if I know them then.
Just try. Sure. Okay.
All right. We got Cody.
Yeah.
Michael Brinkley.
Yeah.
Scott Kevorkian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I had seven. with counting. Oh, Mike Michelow.
Yeah. No, Michael... You had already... Michael Brinkley, you meant,
Mike Brinkley.
Yeah.
Okay. And Michelow.
And then, was it Ryan Slater one?
Yeah.
No, Canadian.
Was it Canadian?
Canadian.
It was. Did you say Cody Kessel?
Yeah. Will already have.
Wasn't Blake one or?
Nope, Canadian.
He was Canadian.
Yeah, that's the only ones I got.
I don't know who those are.
We too had some problems.
I've noticed.
I think you made a mistake, Kayetan.
Not me, but you. You put Ryan on the list, but Ryan is Canadian.
Okay.
It's six. So, Jordan, you said six. Okay. That
also,
was your
Dalton
guess.
Had the best number. Six is right, but he said seven, and the other said eight and nine. So, okay. Dalton is right.
That was the
number.
Yeah.
But how many points Will got for naming?
He said Cody, Michael Brinkley, mm-hmm. Scotty, and Mike Michelow. Four from six. So what's missing? Missing is Leo Durkin, and Aaron Mitterrand.
Have you played with Leo?
We played against him, yeah.
And it was also just last year.
BYU. That's Jordan. You told you lost your final with BYU. Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry. Don't mention the ball.
Yeah, that wasn't against Leo. That was my last year. So Leo was playing here, I think. No.
We forget about that.
So up to now, Dalton has 1 point and Will has 1 point.
Okay, cool. So next question, number three out of four. How often made SVG to the semifinals of the playoffs? So in their first six seasons in the first league.
How many times
SVG made it to the semifinals of the playoffs?
Jordan.
Yeah.
Once.
One?
Nope.
That's not right.
Next. Who wants to go?
Five.
Will?
Nope. Darling, your turn.
Zero? Will, what did you say?
I know they did it once.
Five.
Five. You mean two?
That was the German okay. It's fine.
I didn't understand. I understand five.
Yeah, it's a German two, not this. This okay. Okay.
That's right. Exactly.
Dalton?
I'm going to say zero.
The right answer is three times.
Yeah.
Oh, so, nice. But Will was nearest. He said two. So, that's Will cool. Has up to now 2 points. Dalton one. John, it's your turn for the next. Last question.
Okay. Last, well, maybe we have a bonus question also, maybe if it's a tie. Which natural resource made Lüneburg rich in the Middle Ages?
Jordan.
Sorry?
Wasn't it salt?
Really?
Of course.
That's okay. That's right.
Okay, but still, Will is in the lead? Yeah? Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How did I know that?
So, cool. The craftsman gets the craft beer.
Yeah, that's the rice.
I'll share it.
Very well.
Okay.
I'm happy that one, mate.
Cool. Think our bonus question, by the way. We keep it for the next time, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
When you hopefully will have the chance to play a game in front of the audience, usually you will hear something at the end of the game, a song. That's kind of a tradition here in Lüneburg, and then you would know the answer. suspense.
Yeah.
But Will, at the end, I have one question. In SVG introduction, you called your motto of life, Pitter Patter, let's get at air. I don't know how it's pronounced. I don't know. Can you explain? What does it mean?
Yeah, so it's from one of my favorite TV shows, and the TV show is a comedy, so it's kind of used in a comedic sense. Oh. But when it's boiled down to it, pitter patter, let's get at her, really means, you know, quit your whining, quit your moaning, quit complaining, and just get the job done that's at hand. So it's you know, whatever life throws at you, you know, there's no reason to sit down and complain about it.
Just
get up off the butt and go do something about it. So I've always really liked that.
Ah, okay.
That's also helpful in this current situation.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Actually, there was the gossip part you left out by purpose, Wolfgang.
Which one?
Oh, we are the second biggest platform for meeting people, getting to know people after Tinder. So last time, no, that was not our idea. Richie said, okay, if anybody is interested, so then please text us or let us know, send us a message via Instagram or whatever. So now it's your chance. What do you want to tell something about your relationship status? You don't have to. Exist. You don't have to.
It's non-existent.
It's complicated.
I've spoken to zero girls since I've been here.
Okay. It's dramatic.
Yeah, it's really hard right now.
Okay. The only girl I've spoken to is Sophie. And Nayla. Those are my girls.
Yeah, I don't know. It's even if I did meet somebody, you can't really go out on a date, you know? You'd have to be a socially distanced date. Sit there and have a coffee with
them. Romantic.
Yeah. But yeah, it's you know, I went on I think 2 dates in Hamburg by my time here early in the season. And they've both been, you know, I've gotten 2 different tours of the city in 2 different areas. It's been great.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully in the future you will have a chance to tell us a little bit more or just to experience something.
We just walked around. We went to the opera house. Isn't that where you can go to the top deck?
Yeah, yeah. There's Elbphilharmonie, the concert hall. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that must be enough for the moment.
Yeah, and we're doing fine here.
Okay, cool. We enjoy you having here with us and also seeing you playing. And hopefully we all hope we'll have a chance to see you also in the still gym and maybe in the future in the arena also.
Yeah, hopefully.
We have to say a great thank you to you for your time, for the talk from you, and we wish you all the best for the next, and we hope we can see you live. We don't know what happens in the future, but thank you from us.
No problem. Thank you. Thanks for having us. Wow.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Tschüss. Ciao. Happy New Year. Frohes neues Jahr.
Frohes neues Jahr.
Yeah. Happy New Year.